Worker John Mark Colmer, who spoke at Spring Harvest, New Wine. It's been a long day, sorry. Spoke at New Wine last year. And one of the phrases he used was just being an apprentice of Jesus, and how the disciples were the original apprentices of Jesus. And quite literally, the phrase that was used was sitting at the rabbi's feet. That's how disciples of a rabbi, apprentices of a rabbi, actually became like their rabbi. So not kind of turning up 9 till 5, but living with them. So living with him to learn to live like him is basically what Dave's service was on last week. Practicing and practicing the presence of God as well. So we've been intentional about it, but also it being a way of life, what we do, but also kind of being active in it. Practicing and practicing. The reason I put both them practices in, because I can never remember which one's which, but we want both. Okay? We want both. We want it to be what we do, but also our intention and how we do it. Presence of God in whatever we're doing. So that's where we're at tonight. That's the context of why we're looking at what we're looking at tonight, in addition to the fact that as I began to prepare, this is what God kind of, I believe God kind of prompted me to share. Yeah, so if we looked at living like Jesus last week, this week we're going to be looking at reaching out with God's hope and love. So hopefully over this fortnight we've kind of revised amongst ourselves the vision statement, what we're about as a church. In terms of scriptures tonight, we're going to be looking at two in particular. Here's our first one. I once saw, I think it was a couple of years back now, it was, you know, when it was trendy to wear Christian T-shirts. And I think it was actually in Skeggy. We're walking down Chip Pan Alley in Skeggy, and there was a bloke walking in front, and he got a green T-shirt on, and it said 316 on the front. And he kind of saw that as he walked past us. And then as he walked down, on the back it said, "You know what I mean, John?" Okay, John 3:16. This is just really to remind ourselves that when it comes to reaching out with God's hope and love, we're doing what God's already done. We're doing with what He's done, what He's about, God is doing. It's not like we've dreamt this up as a great idea. What we've actually done is copied Him. Okay? What's the proof of that? Well, that scripture's the proof of that. God loved the world, so He sent His own Son. Okay? Quite literally, physically reaching out in hope and love for the world. And in reaching out with God's hope and love, we're doing what Jesus would be doing if He were here now. Okay? If Jesus turned up, you know, I don't think He would get His diary out and think, right, how can I fill this with meetings? And even some of the good ones, you know, like, well, put Encounter in first because that's worth going to, and morning worship and monthly prayer meeting and all that. I'm sure He would put them things in, but in addition to that, He'd say, right, how can I get out amongst the people that don't know me yet? How can I show them that, you know, God loves them? What's the proof of that? Well, it's that text again, but also the rest of the scripture, the Gospels. That's what He did. That's what He did. He kind of had His one-on-one time with God. He had His church time with the disciples, if you like. And then He had the rest of His life that He seemed to spend with everybody else. So in reaching out with God's hope and love, we're doing what Jesus would do if He were here. Here's a thought. Tonight, if you see a think bubble like that, it's a bit of a thought. It's a bit of a needle thought, I suppose. It could be a bit contentious. Just that if we're missing out on reaching out in God's hope and love for whatever reason, we're missing out on a piece of our apprenticeship. We're missing out on a piece of our practicing the presence of God. You You know, if Jesus spent such a long time in his life reaching out to other people and we choose not to, then we're not living like Jesus. That's where the rubber hits the road. We're not doing what Jesus did. We're not living like he did. Okay. Here's our next text. Romans 12. Love this text. And it's the one that so often kind of gets a bit bent out of shape. We had this last week, if people pay notice. We had this last week, so... I wish I had the same prescription as Bert and then I could wear our lasses glasses. But that's a different thing. Here we go. Oh, that's better. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Dave went on, if you remember last week, to talk about, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. But the bit really we need to pick up tonight is just that first verse. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's part A. To consider, and this is what we've been trying to do in our worship in a way, to consider the ridiculous lengths that God went to for us. And when we've considered that, our spiritual act of worship, the second part of that verse, our offering our lives, if you like, our reaching out, is in response to what God has done. It's not to draw attention to ourselves. It's not to big us up. It's not to big the church up. It's in response to what God's already done. It's in responding to what Jesus has done. You know, we started off with God so loved this, the world that he sent his son. And then you remember it goes on and on in that song about what Jesus actually did. He did it for us. You know, if we needed a motivation to do something for somebody else, what they've already done for us is that a prime motivator. You know, let's take Christmas as an example, okay? Christmas, we took my mum over to her bungalow and we spent four days there. And it kind of, in a lot of ways, if I was to write down what would my perfect Christmas be, it would be certainly a time of kind of freedom and being able to do what I want. It wouldn't involve being in the car for however many hours we were in the car. But actually, when I think about it, in view of who my mum is and what she's done for me, how can I not say, well, actually, you know what, mum? I know you'd love to spend Christmas at bungalow. Let's do it. Yeah? And we think about what God's done for us, then getting a little risky, putting a relationship on edge maybe, you know, risking saying that next little word, introducing Jesus into a conversation, offering to pray for somebody, turning out on a Saturday morning, whatever it might be, reaching out in God's hope and love, becomes more a natural response when we have a revelation of what God has done for us already. And it's responding to what the Spirit's doing amongst us and with us. Just while I mention going out on a Saturday morning, one of the things that Mark Greenwood encouraged us to do, and we've been encouraged to do it on the New Wine learning community that we went on, was to share success stories. Saturday morning, we had a great turnout. We had about a dozen people turn out, and it really made a difference. You can get along with six, but with a dozen, you're a presence, you know. And you can pretty well saturate the village with just a dozen people that are all wearing the same colour top. Some success stories from Saturday. A lady came across, got off the bus, I think, came across and she said, "Will you pray for me?" She came to the gazebo and said to a couple of us up there, "Will you pray for me? I'm in a dilemma. I keep praying, I don't know what to do. I've got a funeral this next week, but if I go to the funeral, a lunch club that I run won't have the meals. But if I stay there, then the family at the funeral are going to be upset." And several of us were able to pray for her, and I think she kind of went away with a bit more peace on the matter and a bit more direction about what she needed to do. We kind of, I'll be honest, you know, in a non-visible, skippy kind of way, I kind of skipped away from that. Oh, great, marvellous, and I assumed my position outside the co-op where I always stand. And I'm saying good morning to people and what have you. I'm still thinking about that. And all of a sudden, I was aware of someone in a car waving me to come. And I walked up and there was a lass in there and she said, "Look, are you from the church?" And I'm guessing she'd read it on the sleeve. I said, "Yeah. Will you pray for me?" This is not us going up to people and saying, "Can we pray for you?" This is two people within half an hour actually coming and saying, "Will you pray for me?" I said, "Yeah, of course I will. What do you need?" He says, I'm going cold turkey from Erwin. I'm coming off methadone. I'm 2 days in and she was shaking and contorting in front of this vehicle. "Will you pray for me?" "Yeah, of course I will." You know, and she prayed and fantastic. You know, this is not in Galilee 2,000 years ago. This is outside Co-op in Littleover. People seeking God. People wanting to know more about God. People wanting to see God at work in their lives. And there were several other events that happened with other people on Saturday. Let's respond to what the Spirit's doing amongst us. Yeah? Okay. So here's a thought. The more revelation we get of God's hope and love for us, the more we'll be inspired to reach out. That's why house groups are so important. Because that's one of the places where we study God's word and see what he's done for us. That's why worship's so important. Because that's when we remind ourselves as well as reminding God what he's done for us. That's when we draw closer to him and reveals to us. I've got to say, one of the things in the last 3-4 years that kind of encouraged me most was one morning when Gareth said, "We're going to sing... Tim, what's your least favourite song?" Yeah, he said, "We're going to sing that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower." And I thought, somewhere in this building, Tim's absolutely cringing. Yeah, and actually, I'll be honest, I come to church that morning and I thought, it's hard work, this. And I'd said to God, as we sat there, just before Gareth started, and I said, "Oh Lord, just give me a fresh revelation of your love for me." And we stood up to start singing this business. And it was like the band disappeared, the congregation disappeared, and then this blasting blues music came blasting out. And I just sat down and got my notepad out. And while you lot was doing "Word of the Lord is a Strong Tower" and all that business, I'm writing this blues song, and it's fantastic, not because I've written it, but because it talks about Jesus and what he did. And it were like John Lee Hooker, Eric Clapton, B.B. King. We're all sat around me, twiddling away, noodling away. And it just, what a revelation. And that's really, for me, that's really spurred me on in terms of reaching out with God's hope and love. You know, and sometimes when things have been, you know, I've been in a kind of situation, should I step out for God or not? That kind of song comes back, you know, what Jesus did for me. So let's not be frightened of asking for a new or fresh revelation of God's hope and love for us. So there we are. That's us, apparently. That's us. I don't know, don't spend too long looking through seeing which one's you. Okay, that's probably not very healthy. But in terms of reaching out with God's hope and love, how are we doing? How are we doing? Well, maybe, full steam ahead, great, we're on it. You know, I get up in the morning and I kind of, in my brain, I think, right, there's that person, that person, that person, that person. And I better go to Asda today because there's bound to be a checkout girl who needs talking to. And that bloke who goes around with a mop, he's going to need talking to as well. That might be you when it comes to reaching out of God's hope and love. It might be that actually, you know, you get up in the morning, you go, right, today I know I'm going to pastorally support this person and that person, and I'm expectant that there's going to be somebody who falls over in the street, and I'm going to be there to catch him, and I'm going to say, it's all right, because God loves you, whatever. That could be you, and that's great. If it is, share your success stories. Inspire us and stir us up and drag us on, because we need it. But maybe this is you. I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. It takes me all my time to get out of bed in the morning, let alone reach out with God's hope and love to people. If that's you, maybe rise up. Sorry. The song that we sang, Men of Faith, Rise Up and Sing. Usually we kind of barrel through that song. We purposely, tonight, said, no, we're going to sing it delicate, a bit more delicate. Because the words of that song are not to a perfect people. They're to a delicate people, a hurting people, to a broken people, to a people that actually are fearful, or people that are tired. Maybe you're feeling hurt and fragile. Oh, but they said that, they did that. Oh God, you did that? How could you do that? That's what's happened, fit into your great plan for me. Again, rise up, men of faith. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Or maybe you're like Elmer there. You've just gone off the boil. You know, we kind of started, didn't we, reaching out with God's hope and love in September. And we do that thing, you know, yeah. It's a bit like some of the brothers who go off cycling. And they go off like a rocket. And 30 miles in, suddenly they're not going like a rocket anymore. They're a little bit tireder, a bit more sedate, a bit more... Why did I get up this morning? Why am I doing this? Oh, I've just gone off the boil. The enthusiasm's waned. Other things have got in the way, maybe. But the great thing is, in God, all these things are okay. For us to be all these things is okay, because God will still use us. Because reaching out with God's hope and love is reaching out with His hope. And His love. Not our enthusiasm. Not our vim and vigour. You know, if you see somebody crawling along through the mud, who's most encouraging to them? The bloke stood in Wellington's at the end with a loud ailer, or the bloke that's crawling next to him? I suggest it's the bloke that's crawling next to him, the woman that's crawling next to him. Okay. I'm going to give you a heads up about ministry. Okay. What we're going to do, we're going to have a song of commitment, a song of dedication, a song where we come to God and say, look, it don't matter which person in that crowd we are, how we're feeling tonight, we need you, Lord. Whether we're full steam ahead, or whether we're hurt, whether we're broken, whether we're fearful, whether we're tired, whether we're cross, whether we're whatever, we need you, Lord. It's a, again, it's not a covenant service, but in a way it's a preempting of the covenant service. And then we're going to have three options, if you like, for ministry. Firstly, a filling of the Spirit. It might be that actually you know that as you, that tonight, what you need most to enable you in hope, to reach out with God's hope and love, is to be filled with His Spirit. To be empowered, to be comforted, to be encouraged. Maybe the second option is for a new revelation of God's mercy towards you. And that maybe during this next week, you know, I can't guarantee it'll be B.B. King for you, but it'll be in a way that God speaks to you. And he'll just say, hey, this is what I did for you. What are you going to do about it? What do you think about that? Or it might be, this will be the third option for ministry, that we actually, you know what you need to do to reach out with God's hope and love. You know the person who it is. You know the situation that it's going to be, that, you know, kind of is ripe for that next step. And it's to say to God, okay, God, let's do this. Can you see the apostrophe in let's? Why is there an apostrophe there? Let us do this. Not let me do this. Let us do this. In other words, let's do it together. So they're the three options that we're going to offer. You'll be aware, sorry, you won't be aware, we have no ministry team. That's because at Encounter, we're it. We're all it. And going forwards, that's the way it's going to be. Okay? We have got ministry team people amongst us that will help us. But, you know, we're trying to get this culture together where we actually minister to each other. God ministers through us to each other. So, Steve, if we can have our hymn up, please. It's a beautiful hymn. We're going to sing it to hopefully a fairly familiar tune, if not totally familiar. Just as I am with that one, plea. As I said to the band... earlier in the week, if you want your to be reduced to a quivering lump of tears, listen to Johnny Cash singing this. He sang it about 3 months before he died. Just seemed to be getting a prompting just to share that we don't need to be scared or asking for a filling. God will not waterboard us. We often think of God's Spirit, you know, being like water, drenching us, filling us, but it will not torture us. It will not drown us. It will not give us more than is good for us. Don't need to be scared. Might be for somebody tonight. It's a cricket trophy or a football trophy, you know, cup or plaque, whatever. And, you know, over time, the name plaques tarnish. And there's a cloth rubbing the name plaque, and as it rubs it, the tarnishing gets rubbed away, and you can see what's engraved on it. And it's your name. This trophy, this prize, belongs to you. And the word that kind of comes alongside that is, restore to me the joy of my salvation. The trophy that Christ has already won for you. Put your name on it. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I believe the word that God was speaking to this for us is probably the one that came when I first started preparing for tonight. It's that in reaching out in hope and love, we don't need to be good at it. We need to be obedient at it. We don't have to be good at it. We need to be obedient at it. So, Father God, I pray that over this next week, you would prompt each one of us. And that you would say, yeah, now is the time. That is the person. This is the situation. Be my hands. Be my lips. Speak my word. Listen. Offer my comfort. Reach out with my hope and with my love. We pray it for your glory, Lord. Amen.